The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend of the world's choice coffees that you get at such an economical price, present Gladys George, Dorothy L'Amour, W.C. Fields, Ray Middleton, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Robert Armbruster, and Don Ameche. This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour.
This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Ameche greeting you.
You mean me, Ameche?
Yes, Charlie, greeting you and everybody for the sensational dramatic actress, Miss Gladys George.
Oh, I'm certainly glad as glad can be. She's here.
Yes. We're all glad Gladys is here. Yeah. And that goes for one of the country's outstanding young baritones, Ray Middleton.
Figaro, and all points well.
Greetings, Stu, from W.C. Fields.
Never heard of him.
Dorothy L'Amour.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Edgar Bergen.
Now we're slipping again.
And Charlie McCarthy.
The top, but definitely top.
The thing I like about you, Charlie, is that you're so self-effacing.
Oh, of course.
So write about efface and pay careful attention as Robert Armbruster conducts the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra in Johnny One Note. Robert Armbruster and his orchestra entertained us so royally, I'll bet you Charlie is sorry he didn't listen more carefully last week.
Yes, isn't Charlie, and don't you regret letting them take back your piano.
Well, yes and no, Mr. Bergen, yes and no. Now, that piano was far from good, and I didn't help it in either.
No.
I tell you, it sounded like a rebuilt typewriter.
It did.
Yes. I think it was an old 8-cylinder harpsichord with a new paint job.
Is that so?
Yes, it was no good. I couldn't get Martin 2 sonatas on it to the gallon.
Is that so?
That's all.
Well, just how far did you go with your music lessons, Charlie?
Well, my teacher gave me a piece called All My Life.
Yeah.
And it took me nearly that long to learn. Well, I tell you, it was so long. It was... It must have been a lot of pages.
Yes.
Disgusting.
Yes.
Well, it took so long to play it. When I finished, my clothes were out of style.
And I suppose that was the extent of your musical education.
Well, no, not completely.
No.
Oh, no. You see, I played in church on a one-stringed instrument.
You did?
Yes.
One-stringed instrument?
Yes. One-stringed instrument. Do you give up?
Yes.
I rang the bell.
Oh, no. Well, that doesn't take much knowledge about music, does it?
No, but I know music.
You do?
Oh, I played in the school band.
You did?
Yes. We were all picked men.
But you know so little about music, how could they all have been picked men?
Well, maybe they picked me a little before I was ripe.
I see. Now, just what did you do in the band?
Well, I was in it. If you must know, I carried the front end of the bass drum. I got the job when the drummer dropped dead in his traps.
I see.
He snared at me once too often.
Oh.
Isn't that awful?
Yes.
I just don't care.
No, I don't.
Oh,
well, I imagine it is fun playing on a school band.
Oh, it is, Mr. Bergen. You just don't know if you don't know.
I know.
And we had a bandwagon, too. I was head man there. I drove the horse. I remember the first time I hitched the horse up wrong. He got all turned around.
That didn't help any.
No. When I said get up, the horse backed up forward.
He did.
Yes. I think I had his suspenders on wrong.
His what?
His garters. I don't know what you call them.
Well, it isn't important.
I don't think so either, no. Well, anyway, I shall never forget driving down Main Street on the bandwagon. All the boys playing extra loud on Saturday night.
Yes.
Oh, what a night.
Yes. That must have been a sight.
Oh, it was.
All of you boys going down the street on that wagon.
Yeah.
What a sight.
Yes, it was. Until the wheel came off the wagon.
Oh, I see. That must have been a disappointment.
Yes, it was. Well, of course, being Saturday night, we had planned on falling off the wagon, but not so soon.
Well, I hope you didn't hurt yourself.
No, you see, I was riding on the horse.
Oh, I see.
And what a horse. I didn't know a thing so full of hay could be so hard.
I don't suppose there was a band concert that evening, was there, after all that trouble?
Oh, there was. Of course there was. And the highlight of the evening was when I played Deep River on my balalaika. And if I say so myself, it was the highlight. Nobody else will say so.
No.
In the middle of the number, a squall blew up and I was carried out to sea. I drifted for 3 days on an empty balalaika. With nothing to drink but bilge water. All right.
Very well. That must have made a hit.
No, it didn't.
It did, no.
Well, I tell you, we did take up a collection.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did.
Yes?
Yes, we took up a collection to buy a wooden leg for our new band leader. You see, we got $2.80. It wasn't much, but we only wanted tin money.
Tin money.
What's that?
I don't think that was funny.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think it was funny?
No.
Of all the people in the world, you should have the nerve to stand there and tell me what I said wasn't funny.
Yes.
That's fine. That's nice. That's really nerve.
Yes.
When I pull a bad joke, you sort of move away.
Yes.
You pretend you don't know me very well.
Well, I don't know you after that joke.
No. Of course, when they come around to take pictures of me, then you come close enough. You'd think we were on a honeymoon.
All right.
Charlie's musical adventures may end in disaster. It's really music that makes the world go round. Music and love. For romance is the theme of almost every song. And even when it's a broken romance, if Dorothy L'Amour sings about it, it's mighty sweet listening. The you and me that used to be.
We walk together in April rain. The city streets were country lanes. Have you forgotten you and me that used to be? We'd see a movie or do the zoo or window shop the avenue. Don't you remember the you and me that used to be? We love the organ grinder's ragtime tune. Paid a man a dime to see the moon. We read the funnies every Sunday noon. Always together. Have you forgotten the fun we knew, the crazy things we used to do. What has become of the you and me that used to be? We walked together in April rain. The city streets were country lanes. Have you forgotten the you and me that used to be? We'd see a movie or do the zoo, or window shop the avenue. Don't you remember the you and me that used to be? Of the organ grinder's ragtime tune, paid a man a dime to see the moon. We read the funnies every Sunday noon, always together. Have you forgotten the fun we knew, the crazy things we used to do? What has become of the you and me that used to be together?
These summer days when you're hot and tired and you can't always enjoy a refreshing swim, a cool shower, or a trip to the country, but there's one way of cooling off that's always right at hand. That's a frosty glass of delicious iced coffee. But if you want to make really delicious iced coffee, don't overlook one fact. When the ice melts, it dilutes your drink. So for extra strength, measure your coffee somewhat more generously than usual. And for extra flavor, use the blend of coffee that's richer and more satisfying. Chase and Sanborn Coffee. And please remember, you always get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee at the very peak of its marvelous flavor. For this superb blend of the world's choice coffees is rushed to your grocer straight from roasting. And the date of delivery, clearly marked on every bag, guarantees freshness. This dating plan also makes expensive containers needless. Instead, we pack Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in an economical dated paper bag. And we put the saving on container costs into higher quality coffees. So in Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, you get finer coffee at a very low price. Try this marvelous blend. It's delicious hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow. A few months ago, Miss Gladys George was acclaimed for her fine work in the picture Valiant is the Word for Carrie. This week, critics all over the country are praising her for her splendid work in the new MGM picture, They Gave Him a Gun. But just a few years ago, Gladys George was a young actress playing in stock and road companies. And then came her big chance. The leading role in the Broadway production, Personal Appearance. The play that kept New York laughing for 62 weeks and made her a star. For us, Gladys George recreates this role.
Personal Appearance, with Gladys George as Carol Arden, the temperamental movie star who was on a personal appearance tour, and Don Ameche as Bud Norton, the small-town boy with the big idea. On a July morning, Carol Arden's expensive foreign car breaks down outside a tourist home on the road to Wilkes-Barre. At first, Carol is furious over the delay. But once she sees Bud Norton, she changes her mind. Now it is evening, and Carol is in the midst of a fight with her manager, who is trying to break up her sudden romance.
I tell you, Carol, you'd better let this kid alone.
And I tell you, Tuttle, you'd better mind your own business. Benjamin Z. Feinberg pays you an exuberant sum.
To keep your mind on your work. Every time you see a good-looking guy with a pair of broad shoulders...
Is it my fault we're stuck in this horrible dump? Why, the interior's worse than the ulterior.
My dear Carol, this is Mrs. Struthers' home for tired tourists.
Is it my fault the car broke down? Am I supposed to fix it? I counted on getting to Wilkes-Barre early and getting a good night's rest.
Now, listen, Carol.
I'll find out how good these personal appearances will do me if I show myself to the public looking like an old hag. You just wait till I get you back to Hollywood. I'll fix you, Tuttle.
Oh, forget it. If you were really in a hurry, you'd take a bus to get into Wilkes-Barre.
A bus? You're suggesting that I take a bus?
I'm suggesting that you stop making a fool of yourself. You're turning this boy's head, and now you've got him thinking that he's an inventor of some sort.
He's a genius, Tuttle, but you wouldn't understand that. He's invented something for sound pictures.
What?
Oh, I don't know what. But he's gone to get his model to show me. And when he comes back with it, you get out. Do you hear me, Tuttle?
I hear you. Oh, but Carol...
Shut up! Oh, you're so voluminous. But even in spite of you, it has been a peaceful day. A heavenly day. The peace of this old house. Oh, how I hate the eternal rush of my life.
Just a July day in the country. Romping through the daisies with a sunburned boy from a filling station.
Oh, isn't he sweet? Oh, Tuttle, I wish he'd seen me in my last picture, The Drifting Lady. That wonderful scene where I sent Gilbert away.
Oh, yes, I know. Spare.
Where I said, Gilbert, it's just that our pleasant little interlude is ended. But remember me kindly. Just for a brief moment sometimes, when April comes round again, with its blue skies and sudden showers, think of that April woman who drifted into your life as casually as a summer cloud drifts over a green field. And then...
Well, I never heard you do it better. It's a good thing that Bud isn't here.
Tuttle, I'm going to help that boy.
Yes, I know your great glowing heart so well.
Here's the model, Miss Harden. I don't know if you'll be able to get the hang of it, but I've drawn a diagram to show you how it works.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm going out and pray for that garage man to hurry.
Now, Buddy, tell me all about your invention.
Well, you know, I've always been crazy about machinery. Putting things together and taking them apart.
Like Einstein.
Oh, no. No, I'm not that good.
Oh, you never can tell.
I've been working on this new principle of sound recording.
Oh, how marvelous, but too marvelous.
Are you sure you're interested? Because Joyce says...
Joyce?
Yeah, Joyce Struthers. This is her mother's place. Joyce and I are going to get married pretty soon.
Oh, I see. Isn't that nice?
Joyce says I'm always boring people to death talking about my invention.
Oh, nonsense. I know even before I see the model, I'm going to find something wonderful.
Oh, well, it's probably not worth a darn.
Oh, now, don't be modest. I'm sure it's the greatest thing that's happened to the movie since the Warner Brothers said, "Let there be sound." But you simply must come with me to Hollywood.
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I don't know if...
Oh, yes. You must go straight to headquarters. I'll see that you make a proper contact. I'm not without influence, I may say.
Say, maybe I could take Joyce there in our honeymoon.
Oh, my dear boy, you can't wait for Joyce. You mustn't lose a second. Why, someone else might cash in while you're thinking about it.
Well, couldn't I write a letter?
Write a letter? My dear boy, you'll never yet appalled me. Personal contact is the only thing. Do you suppose that I achieve the position I have by writing letters? Oh, no, indeed. Personal contact.
Oh, but gee, I couldn't go to Hollywood now. There's the filling station here. I helped put it in to help Joyce and her mother, and business is getting better every day. And anyway, Mr. Tuttle says I ought to work...
Now, don't you listen to Mr. Tuttle. There's plenty of room in the car. Just as soon as I make my personal appearance in Pittsburgh Sunday, we'll start at once for the coast.
Well, this is all pretty unexpected.
Oh, I know, dear. It all seems very sudden to you, but that's the way Carol Arden does things.
Oh, gosh, I'd hate going away without Joyce.
Oh, I know, dear. If there were only room enough. But now, show me your model. I'm simply dying to see it. Just think of my being present at the birth of a brand new invention.
Well, here it is.
Oh, got a lot of wires and things, hasn't it?
Now, my idea is to utilize the theory of the stroboscope. The stroboscope.
Oh, yes, of course.
That is, the loudspeaker makes one vibration for every time light that passes the photocell. You could use an oscilloscope for that.
Why not?
Well, there's no reason at all. You could. I think I can show you with this sketch.
You know... You have the most beautiful hair for a man.
Well, it's thick anyway. Now, you see, this line here represents the direction of the light ray.
Oh, yes, it's a cunning little line, isn't it? Buddy, do you mind if I turn on the radio?
Oh, sure, go ahead. I always work better with the radio on. Now, let's see. These two lines here.
Oh, Buddy, what is that divine tune? Don't you adore dancing?
Uh-huh. Come here and look at this.
Oh, that music, Buddy. Isn't it irresistible? Come on. Show me what a good dancer you are.
Oh, I'm not so hot.
Come on. Just to please Carol. You know,
You have the prettiest eyes, Buddy.
Oh, so have you.
Have I?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell what color they are. And that sweet smell.
Oh, you like my perfume.
Oh, perfume, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's called Polly's Moy, Dear Moore. It means speaking of love.
Gee, women must like funny names for stuff. Makes you sort of dizzy.
But it's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. Say, do you know, you're beautiful.
Am I? Do you really mean that?
Do I? Why...
Well, hello there. Listening to the music?
Oh, hello. Well, I was showing Miss Arden my model.
Well, don't let me disturb you. I'm just waiting for that garage man to get through.
Miss Arden turned on the radio and we sort of got to dancing.
Well, we can all just sit here and enjoy the music.
Oh, darn, there's somebody wants gas. Excuse me a minute, will you, Miss Arden?
Why, of course, Buddy. You attend to your work. Don't let me interfere at all.
I'll be right back.
Well, Tuttle?
I'm sorry to have to keep you waiting like this, Miss Arden, but the car will be ready in a few minutes.
Your interference won't do you a bit of good.
Interference?
Don't brandish words with me. You know what I mean.
Oh, so we're winding up for one of our tantrums, are we?
Never mind those impersonalities. Will you be kind enough to explain? Explain to me why you took it upon yourself to advise Buddy not to go to Hollywood.
Now, wait a minute.
Benjamin Z. Feinberg pays you an extortionate salary to make things easier for me. Instead of which...
Please, Miss Arden.
Don't please me. You're so conceited, you're absolutely indefensible.
Into what?
Absolutely. You keep on butting in.
And now, little man.
Now, little man.
I'm only trying to prevent you getting into difficulty.
Is it my fault I was born beautiful? Is it my fault Hollywood chooses to make me glamorous? Heaven knows I don't want to be. All I ask of life is the tender, honest love of some simple man who'll understand me.
Come on, Carol, be yourself. You know you've fallen for the boy.
It isn't true.
Oh, yes, it is. I wouldn't care if it went for Joyce.
Oh, Joyce. That little nincompoop. She ought to thank me for taking an interest in her friend. I'm trying to make her rich.
You're going to break her heart. Oh, they're crazy about each other, these kids.
But, Tuttle, you don't seem to realize...
Carol, I thought that you would be more understanding. More... Well, do you remember your picture, A Country Sweetheart?
Certainly I remember. They held it over the Roxy for 2 weeks.
Joyce reminds me so much of the girl you played in that. An innocent country girl, breaking her heart.
Mm, it was a beautiful part. I've always felt it had more of the real me in it than anything else I've ever done.
And you remember the scene where the boy finally comes back to her and she forgives him?
I know, I remember. It's where I said, I've learned through pain the joy of perfect understanding because the suffering has taught me to be big enough to forgive. Oh, how marvelous I was in that.
Because the real you was speaking, Carol. And now that you realize how much these kids love each other, you can't take him away from her. Besides, Carol, you've got to remember what your public would think.
Well, I only meant to help him. But I suppose the world would be ready to believe the worst.
I'm afraid so, Carol.
Oh, I must think. My public, yes. It does seem a terrible sacrifice for this boy's future.
You can still help him.
Leave me. I must have a moment or two alone. A moment or two to commute with myself.
I know you'll do the decent thing, Carol.
Get out.
I'm going. And here comes the man.
I'm sorry to be so long, Miss Arden.
Bud, I have something to tell you. Something I'm afraid it's going to be very hard for me to say.
Why, what's the matter, Miss Arden?
Sit down, my dear.
Why, sure.
You must try to be brave, Bud. I won't be able to take you to Hollywood with me, after all.
Oh.
Oh, don't look at me with those great bewildered eyes.
Huh? I wasn't.
Don't make it too difficult. Someday, perhaps, you'll understand.
But what's happened? I haven't done anything, have I?
You haven't done a thing, dear boy. And nothing has happened. It's just that our little interlude has ended.
Our what?
I mean, it's ended.
Gee, I don't understand.
You see, I'm a creature of whims. And this plan was one of my mad whims that I've decided to forget.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Arden. I thought it'd be sort of uncomfortable going all the way to Hollywood with three of us in the back seat anyway.
Oh, You've taken this so bravely, so splendidly. And now you must try to forget me.
Forget you?
Or if you can't, then remember me, kindly. Just for a brief moment sometimes, when April, when July comes round again. With its blue skies and sudden showers, think of that April woman.
Okay, Miss Arden, let's go.
That April woman who drifted into your life as casually as a summer cloud drifts over a green field and then drifts on again.
Gee.
Goodbye, my dear.
Oh, I'll go out to the car with you.
But this is our private goodbye. Our quiet moment. Alone.
Come on, Miss Arden, let's go.
All right, Tuttle, I'm coming. Au revoir, buddy.
Thank you, Gladys. And now's the time to get set for your personal appearance with Master Charles McCarthy, while Robert Armbruster conducts the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra in a brand new swing tune, the title song from Walter Wanger's picture, 52nd Street.
Jason Sanborn Hour with Gladys George, Dorothy L'Amour, W.C. Fields, Ray Middleton, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Robert Armbruster and the Jason Sanborn Orchestra and Don Ameche continues in just a moment.
Sanborn in the first.
Hey, Charlie, just a minute. What is this Sanborn in the first?
I got a hop tip, a red hop tip. Sanborn in the first. Sanborn in the first.
Well, what is it, Charlie?
It's a race. It's a sure bet. Take my word for it, Mr. Beachy. All the horses will be chasing Sanborn down the straight.
Are you sure Chasing Sanborn will win, Charlie?
It's in the bag. You got it? You get it?
Yeah, I get it. But where'd you get it?
Oh, it's just a little thing I invented.
You invented? Oh, you're an inventor, huh?
Yes, and it's...
Say, I know somebody who's very much interested in inventors. Here she is. Miss George, do you know Charlie McCarthy, the peerless inventor?
Oh, I love peerless people. I hate cowards. I hope you're really an inventor, not an imposter.
No, you can be sure. I'm practically sitting in the car right now, you know.
Oh, that's too magnanimous. What is your latest invention, Charlie?
Well, I'll tell you. What day is it today? Well, back in 1918, and then came the war, and then 1924. What did we invent, Bergen? Now, Charlie, you know I haven't invented anything. Oh, yes, you have. Don't you believe him, Miss George? He's fibbing.
I love truthful people. I hate procrastinators.
Oh, so do I. Can't stand those perambulators. Whatever. Now, so help me, Bergen's greatest invention was when he invented me. That takes genius, you know.
Now, Charlie.
What an invention. I am Bergen's piece de resistance. Translated from the French, that means bread and butter.
You know, I've often wondered what that meant. Uh-huh. But I'm more interested in you, Charlie, than the man who constricted you.
Yes. Oh, do you really mean that? Oh, be still, my heart. Scram, Bergen. All right.
Tell me, Charlie. Huh? Tell me, really. Yeah. Would you like to be in pictures?
Here I go again. Well, now, coming back to the invention. My first invention was a combination dictaphone and printing press, and it takes dictation, shorthand, and typing, and does anything.
Is that marvelous?
Yeah.
Does it peel potatoes?
Well, if you can peel it, if you can dictate a potato, it'll peel it, I think.
That's too marvelous. But what do you have to do to operate this machine, Charlie?
Well, all you have to do is talk into the machine, see? And as you talk, the type falls automatically, and the press starts rolling around, and out it comes.
Out comes what?
Well, we've often wondered. We're having it analyzed now. It's a great machine. Of course it isn't perfected yet. There's something missing somewhere.
And what do you think is missing, Charlie?
Well, for one thing, our assistant. The last time I saw him, he was leaning in the machine, and his tie got caught.
Oh, what a cataclysm.
Well...
What happened?
Well, it's hard to say. His wife has been calling every half hour. But we don't feel that she'd be satisfied with what's coming out.
How disconcerted.
Oh, it does. It'll do it every time, yeah. But my greatest invention, Miss George, you haven't heard about that, have you?
No, I haven't. You know you're so versatile.
Yes, indeedy. My greatest invention was a lawnmower, but it wouldn't cut grass, eh? So I invented grass seed that wouldn't grow.
Oh, how absolutely excavating.
This is getting annoying. But I found out why it wouldn't cut grass. It needed someone to push it, see? So I put a gasoline engine on the lawnmower.
Oh, did that help, Charlie?
Help? You couldn't hold it from then on. I had to keep it locked up in the barn. One day I left the barn door open and it got away. Last time I saw it, it was going down Hollywood Boulevard. 15 policemen trying to corner it.
Oh, those poor policemen.
Yeah.
Did it hurt them?
Did it hurt them? It clipped them and it mowed them down.
Thank you.
Every once in a while, a song comes along that zooms right up into the hit class almost from the first time it's played. September in the Rain is a song like that, and today the whole country's singing it, so I'd like to join in.
The leaves are brown, came tumbling down, remember, in September, feel the rain. The sun went out just like a dying ember, that September, feel the rain. To every word of love I heard you whisper, the raindrops seem to play a sweet refrain. Though spring is here, to me it's still September. That September, feel the
before dawn. Every cloud has a silver lining. He who hesitates is lost, and love is just around the corner, and so is W.C. Fields. Well, Bill, how are you feeling?
Well, I have to look first. I'm feeling fine, Don. Well, it's me back to old Virginia.
Wait a minute, Bill. Wait a minute. What is that valiant me back to old Virginia?
I'm thinking of Gladys George, Don.
Yeah.
Valiant is the word for curry.
Oh, I see.
Valiant me back to old Virginia. Down on the ho-ho-ho.
Bill, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I get the idea.
Like the bust the guy in the nose told me that was funny.
All right, Bill.
And speaking of curry, Don, I'm getting rid of a great load today, and I don't mean 2 quarts either. I'm going to take a vacation, Don.
You're going to... Is that so, Bill? You mean you're going to leave us?
Oh, for the notch, yes. This radio racket has got me down. Last Sunday, I had a recurrence of my double vision, Don.
Is that so, Bill?
Saw two Amishis. That wasn't bad enough.
Yeah, what happened then?
Then I saw 2 McCarthy. It was too much. That guy is a thorn, a splinter in my side. I'm going out to the woods and forget.
Well, say, I'm sorry to hear that you're leaving us, Bill.
Oh, you begrudge me a few weeks commuting with Mother Nature, eh? Listening to the twitter of the birds and the stinging of the bees.
No, Bill, I don't mean that at all.
Of the howling of the bloodhounds. How those bloodhounds get into one's blood, Don. Guess that's why they call them bloodhounds, eh?
Yeah, I guess that's right. But, Bill, I didn't really mean
that... baby rattlesnake playing with their mother's rattle. Very beautiful, Don. The way nature provides those snakes with little toys. You know, Don, the mom of a rattlesnake, you know what she feeds her young?
No, and I don't care.
Oh, you never drank rattlesnake milk, eh?
No, Bill. But if you're really so anxious to take a vacation, I'm in favor of it, Bill.
You want to get rid of me, eh?
No, Bill, I don't.
For 9 weeks, you've been avid in your anticipation of my departure. And not until now do you show your ugly teeth.
Oh, now, Bill, please.
Maybe I shouldn't say ugly teeth, Don, after knowing what you paid for them. You think they rooked you? I wonder what they'd allow me on a trade-in for some of mine.
Look, though, Bill, you've got me all wrong. I want you to do what you want to do.
Arguments at every turn. And what's more, you never let me say a word about my friends at Paramount.
Now, Bill.
Adolf Zucker.
Now, Bill, please.
Or Jason Sanborn.
Now, Bill, wait,
you
wait.
You see, you're rushing me.
Oh, Bill.
Gregory LeConnor, Al Jolson, Fred Allen. There, I got him in, all right.
Bill, look, if you stay around, you can say all you want to about anybody you please. Now, how's that?
You close the door after the horse is gone.
What horse?
You know what horse, the one in the third race. You bet on him. Anyway, it's too late now. There's too much argument around here. The thing you and Bergen don't understand is that we radio people are temperamental, very sensitive.
We radio people, Bill? Yeah. You've only been on the air a couple of months.
That's right, too. Seems like years and years. Anyhow, I'm going for a vacation, far away from insults hurled at me by that little rat, Charlie McCarthy.
Wait a minute, Bill. Here's your nemesis, Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, Mr. Fields. I heard you tell Mr. Meachie you're going away on a vacation, huh?
Well, do you want to make anything out of it?
No, Mr. Fields, but can I ask you where you're going?
Yes, you can.
Well, why don't you tell him, Bill?
Why don't he ask me?
Go ahead and ask him, Charlie.
All right, I will. Where are you going?
I'm going far away, far from the maddening crowds, far from the horse cars and the crack of the driver's whip. Brrr, crack. Correct. Get up there, Mag. Good old Maghorn. Was I happy when gasoline took the place of oats? Those were the happy days when the attendant would say how many bushels, what kind of cracked corn, and shall I look at her shoes, then look at me and then at the horse and say, is the tank full? And he'd look back at his shoes.
Bill, are you going into the woods?
Are you going in the woods?
Which one shall I answer? I'm going to the woods to dig up another McCarthy for Bergen. Now, remember, Charles, I'll remember you to all your relatives.
I love the woods, Mr. Fields.
Who cares?
Will you take me with you, Mr. Fields?
What, take a sandwich to a picnic?
Oh.
On second thought, I may take you, my diminutive little chum. If I run out of matches, you can rub your hands together and start a fire.
Then you will take me, won't you, Mr. Fields? Can I sleep in the pup tent?
No, my pup tent is very small. I use it to cover my dog. Pup tent, dogs, meaning feet. Remarkable. And after dinner, Charles, you can take a nap in the fireplace and keep us both warm. The evenings will be cool.
Bill, you know, Charlie is already threatened to go on strike.
Picket in the fence factory, eh? Yeah. I killed that one for him.
Say, Bill, do you expect to do any fishing while you're away?
Don, I had a very unhappy experience while fishing once, an experience I shall never forget.
Well, what was that, Bill?
I shall never forget it.
Yeah, well, what was it, Bill?
I can't remember just now. And I know it was an experience I shall never forget.
Oh, I see.
It comes back to me as though a dream. I was out in the woods doing a little fishing up at Lake Titicaca.
What?
Just a lake. I caught a little fish.
Yeah, go on,
a
Bill.
Minnow.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I looked at the little fellow's face. There was a tear in his sad, bleary eyes. It may have been a dewdrop.
Yes,
dewdrop,
Bill.
Yes.
Yes.
But when I released him from the hook, he showed his gratitude.
Oh, he was glad to get off the hook, huh?
Aren't we all? He wagged his little tail, gambled on the green, and sang, and tomorrow will be Friday.
Yeah, I know. The fish was a crooner, huh? He went boo, 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 boo. Before you ate him, and after you ate him, he went boo, boo, twice.
Thing like this, and people like you that drive people like me to places where I'm going. The fish was no crooner. He didn't even know what a horse looked like. Very subtle, very subtle. He wasn't running a racetrack either. If you have any more like that thing, save them till you return to the air.
Is Mr. Fields, are you eating a tomato or is that your nose?
That's a comical. That's a comical. Keep quiet. Stop scratching yourself. You'll get sawdust all over the floor. Make this place look like a ballroom in a minute. You must scratch yourself. Keep walking around that cuspidor over there.
Bill, look, though. What about that fish you caught?
Oh, yes. Thanks, Don. I almost forgot about it. I took the little sick fish home.
I know. In a bucket of well water. Get it?
Very good, Charles. Very good. Sick fish, well water.
Yes.
Very good, excellent.
I like that.
Yes. And then I began a startling scientific experiment in advanced ichthyology, meaning the study of fish, Don.
Yeah, I know, Bill.
Anything you don't understand, I'll only be too pleased to explain.
Yeah, I know ichthyology is a study of fish, Bill.
By removing a cup full of water from the bucket each day, I ultimately got the fish to live without any water at all. In fact, at the completion of my experiment, the fish could not hardly drink water. I had to feed him out of a bottle, a little water on the side.
Did the fish get drunk, Mr. Fields?
Don't leave that kid out in the rain so much. His brain is warped. The little fish would then follow me around like a dog. One day I was out in the woods hunting.
What were you hunting, Mr. Fields?
We were shooting camel.
Oh.
For camel hair coats. I finally turned around. I missed his little fin steps behind me.
Fin steps?
I heard a splash in the brook beside me. I immediately removed my habiliment, my alpaca coat, my pale green trousers, my thick top hat.
Yeah, I know, Bill. Your habiliment.
My socks and garters. With gold initials on them, engraved. With love to dear William from Minnie.
Minnie who?
Minnie, ha-ha. I won't tell you.
Anyway, Bill, you heard a splash, and then what happened?
I can't help thinking of that last one, that Minnie, ha-ha.
Yeah, you heard a splash, don't
you? Yeah, oh, yes, I heard a splash. I wheeled around pronto. And to my great dismay, I found that...
I know, the fish fell in a brook and was drowned.
He beat you to the punch that time, Bill.
Nothing of the kind. That isn't the answer. A dog had treed my little fish.
Oh, wait a minute, Bill. You mean a dog had treed your fish?
Oh, yes, Don, I forgot to tell you. It was a catfish.
All right, Bill. I'm sorry we mentioned that.
I later grew into a flying fish. We flew across the Andes together.
Amos and Andes, you mean?
Listen, Charles, listen. Don't mention names on this program, dear. Am I right, Donald?
Bill,
yeah?
I hear you're going away on a vacation. Is that true?
Do I have to go over this all again? Who is this, Don?
Why, Bill, that's Bob Armbrust, our orchestra leader. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. What happened to his dialect?
Oh, I was just putting that on for Charlie, Bill.
Put it back on again. See if I can tell the difference.
Mr. Fields, when you're away, you're going to send us a postcard?
No, I'll send you some termites.
I got that. I want a postcard. I like postcards better.
Yeah, you get termites just the same.
Do you expect to bring anything back alive, Mr. Fields?
Plenty. If you've ever been camping, you know what I mean. Take care of Charles.
I'll do my best, Bill. I'm going to start a savings account for little Charlie.
Oh, a little savings account, eh? Very subtle, very subtle. Good,
Mr. Fields, can I ask you, if before you go on a vacation, can I ask you a little favor?
Sure. Is it long?
No, Mr. Fields, I just want to know, would you like to kiss me goodbye?
Hey, that's a great idea, Bill. Go on, before you start fighting again. Kiss Charlie and make up.
Yeah.
I've been picking my teeth with better wood than him for years. I'd rather be kissed by a baseball bat. I have dedicated this little poem to this momentous occasion. Farewell, goodbye, my little chum. Hello, soon shall say.
Hello, Bill.
Oh, what fun is coming.
Yes, sir, yeah.
And going, coming, too. The choo-choo train goes woo-woo-wooing.
Woo-woo-wooing?
Evidently written by a Chinaman. And so, kind friends, it is. To my kind of food, lambda.
Well, we'll all be looking forward to reporting to your vacation, Bill. So long, and thank you very much, W.C. Field. Well, I don't know where Bill will finally decide to go for his vacation, but for color and action and wide open spaces, it's hard to beat the Old West. And perhaps Bill will take a hint from Ray Middleton, who sings a group of the cowboy songs you'll hear around any campfire on the plains. Ray Middleton.
Come along, boys, and listen to my tale. I'll tell you of my troubles on the Chisholm Trail. Come a tie, yippee-yippee-ay, come a tie, yippee-yippee-ay. On a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm a going for to round up Texas cattle. Come a tie, yippee-yippee-ay, come a tie, yippee-yippee-ay. And a den lives best when he lives out west and goes by the name of Cowboy. I was walking, I saw a young cowboy come riding along. His hat shoved back and his spurs was jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Whoop-e-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoop-e-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies, for you know that Wyoming will be your new home. Saddle I ride, not even a dog boys to trot by my side. My fire I must kindle with chips gathered round and boil my own coffee without being ground. Whoop-e-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoop-e-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies, just know that Wyoming will be your new home. Home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play.
Down east, on dude ranches, or at the seashore, this summer more and more people are finding refreshment in a rich, delicious, cooling drink. And the hotter the day, the better it tastes.
And that drink is iced coffee. But oddly enough, many people don't quite know how to make iced coffee in a way that brings out all its goodness. It's really easy. There's just one thing to remember. As ice melts, it always dilutes the coffee. And you must allow for this dilution if you want your iced coffee to taste rich and delicious. So make your coffee somewhat stronger than usual. And above all, be sure to use the blend that gives you plenty of flavor. Chase and Sanborn Coffee. This superb blend comes to you at the very peak of its goodness. For as soon as it's roasted, we rush it to your grocer. And the date of delivery is clearly marked on every bag to guarantee the freshness of this fine coffee. Also, with this dating and rapid delivery system, we are able to pack Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in an economical dated bag instead of a costly container. And we put the saving into higher quality coffees. So you get double value, higher quality, and a low price. Try Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, either hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
With carnivals all over the country supplying the great demand for popcorn, pink lemonade, and rough and tumble rides and slides, Dorothy, Ray, Charlie, and I bow to that grand old veteran of every amusement park, the merry-go-round. All right, Dorothy, we're off, and remember, the one who grabs the brass ring gets a second ride free.
Ask me why I'm happy singing like a lark, and I'll tell you of an old amusement park. A merry-go-round was there, I gladly paid the fare. My Charlie rode around with me, then suddenly, oh, the merry-go-round broke down. As we went round and round, each time twould miss, we'd steal a kiss, while a merry-go-round went bop, 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 bop. The merry-go-round broke down and made the darndest sound. The lights went low, we both, and oh, and the merry-go-round went bop, 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 bop. Oh, what fun, a wonderful time, finding love for only a dime. The merry-go-round broke down, and you don't see me found. Things turned out fine, and now he's mine, cause the merry-go-round went bop, 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 bop. The merry-go-round broke down.
Let's see who can lean out the farthest. Oh, I get the door ring.
I'm a cowboy. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, my, trouble, trouble, nothing but trouble. Here we are, Dorothy, you and I, going around for the first time together, and the merry-go-round broke down.
Yes, and just when I was going to get the brass ring, too.
You know, if I wasn't so liberal, I'd ask for my money back if that guy wasn't so big.
Well, what would you like to do, Charlie?
Anything you want to do, we'll do. It's on me. This is a big evening. Whoopee!
Well, Charlie, I just love popcorn, and that popcorn over there smells awfully good.
Yeah, well, you come right over to the booth where you can smell it better.
Oh, look at that girl with all the snakes, Charlie.
Isn't she charming?
And look at those teeth.
The what?
Fangs. Fangs.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome.
Oh, watch out, Charlie. Here comes W.C. Fields.
Don't be silly, Dottie. That's a little boy with a
hurry,
red balloon.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. A free ride outside show is starting right now. Hurry, 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 hurry.
You heard what the man said. It's a free show.
You see before
hurry.
You a glittering, glamorous, gorgeous galaxy of gargantuan grandeur.
Yeah.
A show full of curiosities gathered from every corner of the globe. Clang, clang, clang. The cucamonger man. The only man with the red dood nose.
Woo.
Edgar, the invincible. The two-in-one man with the bifocated larynx.
I gotta see
Countess
that.
Kawani, the queen of the archipelagos, doing her world-famous native dancers.
Uh-oh.
It's educational and instructive.
I love
tonight,
education.
Tonight, for advertising purposes only, the admission is not $1, not 50 cents.
Woo.
Ladies and gentlemen, not 25 cents, but 10 cents.
Oh.
The tenth part of a dollar. One dime.
Isn't
ladies
that
and gentlemen,
wonderful, Charlie? All that for a dime.
It isn't worth a dime. Come on, Dorothy, let's go over to the merry-go-round. There's a man working on it now. I think it's what it's called.
All the merry-go-round broke down. As we went round and round, each time twould miss, we'd steal a kiss, while the merry-go-round went oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa. The merry-go-round broke down and made the darndest sound. The lights went low, we both said, oh, and the merry-go-round went oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa. Oh, what fun, a wonderful time, finding love for only a time. The merry-go-round broke down, but you don't see me frown. Things turned out fine, and now she's mine, cause the merry-go-round broke down.
There always must be an au revoir, and I'm saying it now for our guests Gladys George and Ray Middleton. And for our regular company, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour and Robert Armbruster. Next Sunday, we shall have as our special guests Ann Southern, who I recently had the pleasure of working with out of 20th Century Fox in 50 Roads to Town. We'll be looking forward to meeting you again, so until next Sunday at the same time, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
On this program were Johnny One Note from Babes in Arms, the title song from 52nd Street, and the big show from Jerome Kern's Head Over Heels.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.